is Railbird Central, CheeseheadTV.com. Friday, June 24th, 2011. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Thanks for joining me today, everyone, on this Packers Lounge-themed episode of Railbird Central. I was going to have Jamie Jores join us on the show here this morning. Unfortunately, due to work commitments, she couldn't make it. But we have the next best thing. We have Alex Talich on the line right now. Alex, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good, Brian. You can't hear the Railbird Central intro music when you're hanging on the phone, though. So I'm a little I don't feel the same as I normally do.
Well, I guess
I'll listen to the rerun. I'll listen to the rerun.
You listen to it about five times a day, don't you?
I really do go back. It's the song, man.
So, Alex Talich, the winner of the iPad 2 from Nick Collins in his quest to get 10,000 followers. How's the iPad 2 treating you?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm fully prepared to never see it, so we'll see what happens. If it comes, it's a pretty good deal.
We hear some noise going around in the background. Of course, you have a new member of your family. Can you introduce everybody to the newest member of the Talich family?
Yes, his name is Steve. He's 9 weeks old. He's a chocolate lab, and he's a brown torpedo of death. He's crazy. Gets up at 5 in the morning, and so do I now, so.
How's the dog training going?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. We're getting there. We're not all the way. He's young.
So I suppose if there's one thing going on in the world of the NFL, it's the NFL lockout right now. So how is this going to end? Is it going to end? When is it going to end? Give me your opinion here, Alex.
There's a lockout?
Yeah. News to you, huh?
Yeah, gotcha. You know, it'd be nice if it ended today when Aaron Nagler was on the train, to be honest with you, but I don't know. I'm optimistic along with everybody else that we'll have training camp, maybe a little bit more. So soon, I hope. I mean, it can end today, can it? I'm not wrong in stating that. The NFL likes to hold everything till Friday at 4, so
yeah, I guess exactly. My best
guess, any Friday at 5 Eastern, it's going to end.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, whenever it ends, it's going to happen on a Friday, no doubt about it. So, of course, this, though, something of this magnitude, they might actually want to have happened earlier in the week on like a Monday or Tuesday or something. So it's the bad news that they put off until Fridays.
That is true. You know, I think it'll end. You can really see how the dynamic of fans and the internet and everything has kind of changed without football. So it'll be nice to get that back. I think it's really incorporated into people's lives a lot more than I ever thought. So I think it'll end. I think we'll have training camp. I think things will be about as normal as they can be. And we'll move forward. I like what I'm hearing.
Good, good. You know, on the topic of the Packers here, what's later on this episode, we're going to preview the cornerback position of the Packers. Any thoughts on that position in general, the players that play it? Obviously, there's a very good, you know, starting trio, I guess you could say, if you include Sam Shields in it. But you know, what are your thoughts on the cornerback position, just in general here?
They're pretty good. That's my thoughts. Pretty good. I mean, what you got? You got pretty much two shutdowns. Stevie, come here. You pretty much got two shutdowns. You got Sam Shields, unknown, obviously played well this year. I mean, what more can you ask for, really? As if I think it's the strongest on the team, probably outside a quarterback. You know, you gotta agree.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's one of the strengths of the team. Alex, I'll let you go back to training Steve there, and thank you for joining us this morning. And take care, all right?
Shove me out the door. I see how it is. All right, Brian. Have a good show. We'll talk to you later.
See ya. Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge joining us here to kick things off on Railbird Central here on Cheesehead TV. We'll be joined by John Rahor of Packers Lounge at the bottom of the hour at 8:30, so stick around for that. As for what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers, if you scroll up to the top of the live blog, I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. So if you click that, open it up, follow along, we'd appreciate it. If you want to comment on today's show, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through to our blog. Or just comment and cover it live, and your comments are being approved as well. Or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. And good morning to everyone. Good morning to B. Stanley, Brad Stanley, for joining us on the live blog, along with Annie and everybody else. Sean, who's checked in this morning already. But getting to today's news. If you opened up today's Packers Daily Links, brings you to a page that looks like this. And the top story today, Packers legend Fuzzy Thurston has had his Super Bowl rings seized by the government to help pay off a $1.7 million debt in back taxes. And it's not just his Super Bowl rings. That's just the most prominent item of what's being seized. It's also several championship rings, as well as, lots of football memorabilia. Anyway, if you click the link, it'll take you to the Green Bay Press Gazette, and the story's right here. There we go. You can see a picture of the ring right there. That's going to be auctioned off to help pay off his debt to society, I guess. It's a shame how this has all played out here, but Scott Vency and Paul Srubis of the Green Bay Press Gazette have the story, and if I just read it here for one paragraph, if you follow along. According to documents filed in U.S. District Court's Western District, the government had hoped to sell more than just one of Thurston's rings. A court order dated last week calls for the sale of rings from Super Bowl I and II, NFL championship rings from 1958, 1961, 1962, and 1965, other sports memorabilia, and a gold watch. Hard to believe, isn't it? That's a lot. I mean, what is that? That's six rings total? Six of Fuzzy Thurston's championship rings? It's just a sad, sad state of affairs. If you know Fuzzy Thurston, if you've ever met him, he's one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet. And, obviously he's had some issues here. And primarily just financially. I know he has owned a couple taverns in the state of Wisconsin. Most recently, Fuzzy's right in Green Bay. And if I'm correct, he doesn't own that anymore. And perhaps that part of the reason is that, he sold it, or I don't know, it could have went to family to help, pay off his debt. I don't know the details. I fully admit that. But I know he's owned at least one other tavern in the state of Wisconsin, and obviously has had a couple, financial issues over the years. But it is sad because Fuzzy is just a really good guy, apart from what's happening. And I thought one of the saddest things is, I've gone to Fuzzy's bar before and had my picture taken with him, and I've seen pictures of others. and he makes it. He makes. Let's not use the present tense. Let's use the past tense now. He made it a point to always get that Super Bowl ring into the picture. And for those watching the live version of the show, I can show a picture here, actually, of Fuzzy Thurston. You know, this I had went to Fuzzy's bar. This is a couple of years ago. I think it's back from 2009. And you can see him right there showing off that Super Bowl II ring right in the picture. His smile is infectious, isn't it? And you know, just to prove, you know, that Fuzzy always tries to show off that Super Bowl ring. Here's my father-in-law with him as well. And there's Fuzzy showing off the ring. just a Packers legend in everybody's mind. If you're a Packers fan, you love Fuzzy Thurston, a member of the great Lombardi era teams of the 1960s, part of Super Bowl I and II, and just a great guy. Just a great guy. And he says, poor Fuzzy, we should put out some coffee cans in the gas stations. It's... Yeah. Greg Bedard of the now the Boston Globe, former Packers beat writer. We can see a tweet here from Odds Go Pack Go just chiming in on the topic. Greg Bedard suggested a fan should bid and give them back. That possibly very well could happen. So the Super Bowl II ring, at least, is going to be auctioned off on, I believe it's August 4th in Rosemont, Illinois. You can read the article at the Green Bay Press Gazette to get all the details at some, sports convention or something of that matter. And, Greg Bedard thinks it's not going to take long for a Packers fan to actually, bid on it and give the ring back to Fuzzy. That would be nice. He's such a good guy, such a Packers legend that everybody knows. I suppose it would only take one person, one rich person, though, who wants the ring for themselves to keep it. We'll see. And, I suppose the even greater point that I'm delaying and getting here, Greg Bedard suggesting that Brett Favre actually buy that ring and give it back to Fuzzy as part of the healing process of something Favre could do for Green Bay Packer Nation that would help get him back in the their good graces, I guess you could say. So, do you think that's a possibility? Feel free to leave your comments on the live blog, or by all means, call into the show here today. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. What do you think of the whole situation regarding Fuzzy Thurston? Should somebody give the ring back to him? that's awful generous. I don't have the money myself to buy it, let alone give it back to him. Should Favre do this? So we will see. B. Stanley says, I work in Rosemont. If I only had the dough to buy this sucker. So we might have to come back to you, Brad, when August rolls around and get the scene in Rosemont that day. As I understand, it's a big sports memorabilia convention that the ring will be auctioned off at. John Rahor comments, I think Favre buying the ring is an outstanding idea. So, Sean says, that would improve my opinion of Favre. I doubt it will end up happening, though. Yeah, we'll see. We got a little over a month until it actually goes off for auction, so I'm sure the hype machine will be in full gear over the course of the next month. And I can see the poll up right now. Should Favre buy Fuzzy's ring? 100% right now. The poll isn't very old. We'll see if anybody would click no. I don't think anybody will click no, will they? Oh, it's just sad. It's just sad. As I showed you before, I mean, I've met Fuzzy Thurston, so I think the world of him, and you know, he is a Packers legend, one of the starting offensive guards on those Super Bowl winning teams, as well as several other championships from that era. And here we go. Do you feel bad for Fuzzy and the poll? And right now, you know, again, we just put it up. It's his own fault. Yes, tragic. So, I mean, it is tough. It's tough. I mean, he obviously, you know, hasn't paid these debts that he should have. These rules apply to everybody. So, I mean, you wish it wouldn't have to come to this, but it has. So, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, $1.7 million, that's not chump change. $1.7 million. And, you know, and think about it. I mean, we think today of professional football players having a lot of money. Well, you know, back in the 1960s, you know, I'm sure Fuzzy Thurston made himself a good living back then. But, you know, times have changed. You know, it's not like any of those guys from that era, are basking in millions unless they've made it post football. So it's, you wonder where 1.7 million came from. It's coming from myself, my own middle class perspective, that's a lot of money. Like I said, you know, I know Fuzzy Thurston owned a couple taverns in Wisconsin. I don't know how many. I don't know if that's where all this debt is coming from. So, anyhow. On to perhaps less depressing topics here. Other news today on Railbird Central. Scrolling down a little bit. Having to do with the current team. Offensive line coach James Campen was interviewed for a feature article on him, on himself, at the Packers official website. And it's a good article, written by Vic Ketchman. You know, the whole article himself has to do a lot with Campen's background in football, his own college days, how he went from, I believe, junior college to a scholarship at Tulane University, etc., etc. But at the end of the article, it kind of touches upon, you know, nowadays and his kind of challenges and goals for this upcoming season. It says right here, quote, "We want to be able to run the ball," he said. "The run game allows you to do more things and be balanced in your offense. We want to get going early instead of late, like last year." So there you go, James Campen giving the annual, and I've said this, you know, on Twitter, I've written in today's Daily Links now, the annual, charge to where we got to get the running game going. This is an annual occurrence, happens every single year, got to get the running game going. You know, ever since Mike Holmgren came to Green Bay, the Packers have been a pass-first offense. You know, it's been that way since 1992 now, pretty much. And, you know, it's ever since then, we've been hearing it for since 1992. Got to get the running game going. Got to get it going. And not to say that they haven't been successful in the running games. Amon Green had a prolific couple years in Green Bay. Dorsey Levens Edgar Bennett, and to the current day with Ryan Grant being back-to-back over 1,000 yards. So, you know, it's just, I hear this every year, and it just, you know, it starts to go in one ear, and out the other. You know, I see where it's coming from, though. It's not like the Packers were a prolific running team this past year. B. Stanley says, cue Alex Green, the new draft choice of the Packers here this year. So, you know, it would be nice, of course, if the Packers had a balanced attack, I suppose, one in which you couldn't tell if they were going to run the ball or pass the ball and were equally adept at both. Unfortunately, that's, you know, I don't see that happening. It's going to be a pass-first offense, and why wouldn't it be when you have Aaron Rodgers and the deep receiving core of the Packers? When you have targets like Greg Jennings, Jermichael Finley, Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson, the list goes on. So, you know, is this an empty statement here coming from Campen? You know, I hope not. I hope they focus on the run game. And maybe it will improve. You know, the guys that they've had, you know, especially on the left side, Chad Clifton, Darren College, those guys' strengths at players, as players, have been pass blocking. That's what they're best at. And that's also part of the reason the Packers have been so good in the pass game. It's because that's the strength of the players. Neither Chad Clifton nor Darren College have been dominating run blockers anytime in their careers. Have they been okay at it? Yeah. Good enough to win a Super Bowl. But, you know, it's just not where they're best. And perhaps that could change, though. I mean, we see, you know, right now it's looking like Darren College is going to be an unrestricted free agent. And if he's unrestricted as opposed to restricted, it looks like he would probably, in my guess, would go somewhere else in the NFL. A chance where he might have somewhere to start, a team that needs needs help at guard somewhere else, somewhere in the NFL. And Chad Clifton is near the end of his career. I mean, he might have another year left in him here, but that might be all. I mean, the Packers drafted Derek Sherrod, who himself is not known as a dominating run blocker. It seems that for him, too, pass blocking is his forte. But Mississippi State was a very good running team. So, you know, we're not going to judge Derek Sherrod before we see him in pads. And so maybe Josh Sitton is a great run blocker on the right side. Definitely the best on the team. So we'll see the direction the team takes going forward. Might take a couple years, but maybe they'll get back to a more dominating run game. It is, you know, whether or not the Packers are a pass-first team, it always kind of does, you know, stick with you a little bit just because they, you know, if you have a third and one situation and you fail to get the first down on a run, you know, that's disappointing to everyone. You know, those are the kind of things that are talked about by the Monday morning quarterbacks after a game. You know, the lack of a run game then. I mean, even though they might pass first, you still have to be able to run the ball. You do have to keep teams honest, no matter what. John Rayor says, James Starks needs no blockers to be all world. So, we'll see how this all goes for the Packers in the run game. Just briefly, elsewhere in the news today, and this will make a good seg into our break here in the second half of the show. Devon House was honored by the Minnesota State Board of Regents. There we go. You can see a picture of him holding a framed plaque or something of that matter. You know, just being honored for his good college career at New Mexico State. And anyhow, in the second half of the show, as I alluded to earlier when we were talking to Alex Talich, going to preview the cornerback position on the Packers here as we kind of make our way through all the position groups and our run-up to training camp here on Railbird Central. So Devon House, new draft choice, joining this group of cornerbacks, and we'll kind of take a look at it and see what's in store for the Packers at the cornerback position, one of the deeper positions on the team, one of the best positions on the team. It's almost 8:30, the bomb of the hour. Going to take a brief break here. When we come back, we'll be talking to John Rahor of the Packers Lounge and also going to talk a little bit more about Packers cornerbacks. Stick around.
This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
You're watching Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu, and joining me right now on the phone is John Rahor in our Packers Lounge-themed episode of Railbird Central. How are you doing this morning, John?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Fantastic. John, you're a new addition to the Packers Lounge this offseason. You are live blog director during the Super Bowl. How things been going since that time, and how have things been treating you?
It's boring. I'm tired of not having any football. I just want this deal to be done. You know, we had such an awesome season last year, and then nothing. You know, the draft is a nice little break, but there's nothing. I mean, I'm trying to figure out things to write about, and it's kind of been a stretch. So I just want football back.
Yeah, it certainly has been the, you know, the Packers players aren't around during practices for the media to talk to them. So when you don't have anybody to interview, there's not much content for the media to be putting out and to talk about here if you're a football fan. But, John, you're kind of in a unique situation. You're from Chicago. Everybody knows about the Packers-Bears rivalry. Do you get a lot of grief living amongst Bear fans?
More so now than ever before. it was bad, you know, my entire life. And once the playoffs started, I mean, even last year, but once the playoffs started with the NFC Championship game, it got really nasty. Now, you know, I have, like, a license plate thing that says Packers on the back of it. I'll get, you know, middle fingers thrown at me, stuff yelled at me. It's ridiculous. I know that they are just dying for the season to start. They want revenge. And I'm, you know, I'm just like, come on, bring it. You know, I will occasionally, just to aggravate certain people, I take my Super Bowl championship car flag on one side, I take my NFC championship car flag on the other side, just drive around like, ha-ha, suck it.
Has it ever gotten to a point where it's been almost abusive?
Yes. Oh. I mentioned this, I was on TV up in Wisconsin, but I've had stuff taken out of my car, like little stickers I have on the inside have been taken out of my car. I've had license plate holders ripped off my car. I mean, it's ridiculous. And there was one time I went and got my oil change, and I had a little sticker thing on my dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in the car, drove home, thought nothing of it, you know, looked when I got home, and I was like, I'm missing something here. So I went back, and I was like, did you guys take something out of my car? No, we didn't take nothing. Okay. Yeah, they never got my business again, but honestly, that's what it's like. And I think anybody that lives in Chicago could kind of, you know, give a similar situation, maybe not to the point that, but it's kind of sad.
On a brighter side here, you're one of the more active people I know on Twitter. Can you talk about, you know, social networking and how it's helped you keep in touch with Packers news? How many tweets are you at right now?
I am at 23,000.
23,000 tweets. That's a lot.
you know, when I joined it, it was either right before or right after the Arizona playoff game. I don't remember the exact time, but, you know, it was like, oh, this is kind of a nice little hobby, which has turned into kind of a little minor obsession. But I think what it does is it connects not just, you know, fans, but it allows the fans to interact with the players in a way that's never been seen before. You know, to be able to go on and just, you know, have a conversation with somebody and then you have a player jump in and join a conversation, that's unprecedented. For someone that lives so far away from Green Bay, you know, I don't get to interact with players on a fairly regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's kind of like them coming into, you know, like coming into my home. Like, come on in. This is me.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I do have a little bit of a tweeting problem. So
that's all right.
I admit.
I mean, you could have a lot of other problems that could be a lot worse. So we'll give you a pass on that. I enjoyed how you compiled all the pictures of all the players showing off their Super Bowl rings during the ceremony. How long did that take you?
It took me a couple hours. You know, I really wanted it to be, I wanted it to be a public event. You know, my thought was, and we discussed this on Chiefs Radio, we'd gone through so much last season, you know, and why not just complete the whole, I guess, path with that? And when we couldn't do it, it was like, okay, well, once again, going back to social networking, if we can't be there and the players are going to start tweeting out pictures, well, I wanted everybody to see that that's what's going on at that particular moment, you know. I thought it was great. I thought it was outstanding that they actually took the time to snap a picture and send it out, not because, you know, they, I don't know, greedy is not the right word, but, you know, this is mine, but it's like, we want to share this with you. This is yours as much as it's ours. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I did too. So thank you for doing that. We're talking with John Rahor of the Packers Lounge here on Railbird Central, Packers blogger. You're also a part of Cheesehead Radio, John, and recently the show had both tight end Tom Crabtree and offensive lineman Darren College on. That had to be pretty exciting.
It was. Anytime you can get a guest onto a show like that where you can, you know, get different opinions other than just, you know, the five of us, I think it's great. And then to have an actual player come on and give their perspective on things that we look at from a either a fan perspective, a blogger perspective, however you want to look at, I think it's great. You know, for them to take the time to talk to, you know, to us, you know, it was an honor. I mean, really, it's amazing that you can just ask and they were saying yes. I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
And
go
ahead,
go ahead.
We might have another player on our next show. We might. I'm just saying.
Fantastic. We'll stay tuned to Twitter to find out who that is. You've played a little bit of a part in the promotion of the new Packers Hall of Fame website. Just for those who maybe don't know out there, could you just give a brief overview of what's happening there?
Yeah, what they did was, I never went on the old website, so I have no idea what it looked like, but apparently it was not very good. What they're doing is they're compiling a bunch of history, whether it's newspaper clippings, whether it's magazine clippings, video, pictures, and they're attempting to put it into a place where you can go and view history. Their motto is keeping history alive. You pay a little premium price, and you can go on there and hear things that I would have never imagined existed, like a couple 6 weeks ago, they put out Don Hutson radio recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Don Hutson. I mean, it was great to listen to that stuff. You know, we're spoiled in the sense that we can turn on, you know, he said TV, we can turn on ESPN, you know, out of Milwaukee, any number of stations, and they're talking about Packers. But if I was thinking back to imagine that time, might not have a TV, maybe you do, maybe you have a radio, maybe you don't, but to be able to have Don Hutson talking about, you know, football, that would be must-listen radio for me. And then to see some of the articles that they put together, it's amazing. I mean, it's like, where has this stuff been? I would encourage anybody that has, you know, the time and the means to please go check it out. They are, to my knowledge, they're going to put history by every player that's in the actual Hall of Fame onto a certain page, and you click on that page, and there's pictures, video, recording, what have you. So I think it's a very, I guess, inspiring goal that they want to do to put all those players with a historical perspective in one place.
Yeah, almost kind of like a Wikipedia for Packers Hall of Famers, from what I understand, which is kind of cool. I mean, and I hope someday perhaps it maybe extends beyond just the Hall of Famers to every Packer. It's nice to be able to just have a quick reference of guys like that. John, today's episode, very shortly, I'm going to try to get to the cornerback position here on the Packers. And any thoughts on the cornerback position, the guys currently playing, where they are, where they're headed, anything of that sort?
They're awesome. I mean, Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams. Okay, right there, that defines awesome. Everything after that is a plus. I mean, when you take a look at someone like Sam Shields, who has, you know, sky limit potential, and he's only going into his second year, that sets up very nicely for continued success going, you know, for years to come. And then when you think about other guys like Catley, you know, he has been kind of an unproven commodity, played a pretty good Super Bowl. Devon House, who knows what we're going to have with him. I mean, it sets up very nicely for success in that position going forward. I cannot wait to see what happens.
John, thanks so much for joining us on Railbird Central today. You do a great job at Packers Lounge, and thanks again.
Thanks very much. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, John. See ya. John Rahor of the Packers Lounge joining us. John Rahor of the Packers Lounge and Cheesehead Radio here on Railbird Central this morning on our Packers Lounge themed episode here. We'll get Jamie Jors on at a later point in time to be sure. Jamie had work commitments today that she couldn't join us, but anyhow. Good to talk to John. Good to talk Packers here with anyone. And if anybody else, by all means, if you want to call into the show, 646-797-2909. If you want to share your thoughts on the Packers, by all means, call in or leave your comments on the blog. And as John said, here we go. And the cornerback position, it's great. And you know, I'm going to try to take a look at every position here on every episode of Railbird Central from now until training camp begins. We took a look at the safeties on Tuesday, going to take a look at the cornerbacks today. And yeah, you start with Charles Woodson, and here is the 2009 NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Charles Woodson, I suppose you can point to a bit of a downturn in 2010. And by that, here's what I mean by downturn. Certainly, still a great player. He is the best cornerback in the NFL in run support. The best. And perhaps the best on the blitz as well. So, I mean, you know, he's still the best in several categories in the NFL. Where Charles Woodson, where age is catching up to him, is where he is having to turn his back to the play and run with faster wide receivers downfield. He just doesn't have quite the speed anymore. So, you know, when he has to cover guys downfield, he's not quite there. That's why the Packers play him in the slot now. You know, whenever they go to a nickel situation, bring three cornerbacks in the game, Charles Woodson slides in, and you've got Tremont Williams and Sam Shields, who've got a little bit more speed on the outside. And, I mean, that's that right there is playing to the strength of your personnel. So, I mean, it's not like Charles Woodson has to turn and run with cornerbacks a lot anymore. So, it's, you know, the Packers utilize him properly, and he's still a very much valuable member of the team and a captain as well, the heart and soul of the Packers and their emotional leader. So he's fantastic. I mean, Charles Woodson might be my favorite Packer of all time. Seriously. Of all time. I mean, I'm a little bit younger guy. I was not alive, certainly, during the 1960s, that era. And you know, I mean, my formative years were during the Mike Holmgren era, but I really like Charles Woods, and I was a defensive back myself, so perhaps that plays into it. But you know, I just think over the years he's been such a big play guy too. It seems like he's always been able to get the crucial interception and perhaps return it for a touchdown, force fumbles, fumble recoveries, you name it. He's fantastic. Little I can say about that. Tremont Williams, just as good. People, I think, disagree with me, but I will stick to this through thick and thin. I think Tremont Williams had the best season of any Packers player in 2010. And by what I mean by that is he had the best entire season from week one until the Super Bowl. If you remember last year, Aaron Rodgers kind of had a slow start to the season the first month or so. Certainly heated up after that point and, you know, was a very worthy candidate for that honor from about week five or so onward. But, you know, from week one until the end, Tremont Williams, for my money, was the best cornerback in the NFL. I mean, what do you have? Six interceptions, you know, himself, not Charles Woodson in run support, but a willing tackler. But I mean, just shutting guys down, shutting the best opposing wide receivers down in today's pass first age in the NFL. So important. So important. So, you know, Tremont Williams, it's beyond a shame that he wasn't named to the Pro Bowl last season. It should have been named to All Pro as well. I think Tremont Williams actually was an injury replacement or whatever, would have played in the Pro Bowl had the Packers, you know, not made it to the Super Bowl, but he wasn't part of that initial voting in or whatever. But he deserved it. He deserved it, absolutely. Sam Shields, nickel cornerback, practically a starter. The Packers play more in nickel than their own base defense in the 3-4. Sam Shields had a fantastic rookie year for as far as rookies are concerned. I mean, any rookie coming into the NFL faces steep odds of contributing, but he did a good job, and he's young. He has that speed, unlike Charles Woodson, who's kind of, you know, through age is kind of losing a step. But Sam Shields is doing a good job on the outside, and he kind of grew as the season went on. You remember in the NFC Championship game just yesterday was a topic of conversation because Kevin Seifert of ESPN.com wrote about B.J. Raji's interception in the NFC Championship game. Well, it was actually, if I'm correct, on that play, Sam Shields had blitzed, and you hadn't seen Sam Shields blitz all year long. You know, they weren't about to put that rookie in that type of situation, and I'm sure he wasn't ready for it, but by the end of the year, you know, by the time he had pretty much a whole season's worth of experience under his belt, they felt comfortable at that point blitzing him and PJ Raji dropping into coverage and getting the very memorable return for a touchdown. But Sam Shields has a very bright future. You wonder perhaps is he only good on the outside? Would he ever be able to play the slot like a Charles Woodson? I don't know. And thankfully the Packers don't have to make that decision yet. But he had a great year. He did a very good job of shutting down opposing wide receivers as well. Did he get beat now and again? It happened a handful of times, but very few times. You know, certainly not enough. I mean, it's going to happen to everybody. It's just the way it goes. These guys aren't flawless. They're not going to excel every single time. Somebody's going to get beat. You know, there just aren't many shutouts in the NFL. John Rayor says, don't let him return kicks yet. Yeah, Sam Shields was not a good kick returner, but that's all right. They drafted Randall Cobb, and hopefully they don't need him in that role anymore. So he did have one, as I remember, was it the Atlanta game where he had a nice kickoff return, some like 50 yards? So he's got the speed. Doesn't necessarily have the hands, but that we're talking about cornerbacks today, so we'll give him a break there. You know, beyond those three, I guess you have a little bit of a question mark. So you wonder if perhaps Charles Woodson, will he regress even more? Will he move to safety? And all of a sudden you're going to need another cornerback. Who is it going to be? Well, last year in the pecking order, it was Jared Bush. You know, like Jared Bush is kind of providing depth at both safety and cornerback. He's got experience at both. And Jared Bush has never been a success in the past at cornerback. This past year, he had very few chances whenever he did come into the on defense this past year. He didn't do bad. He didn't do anything that stuck out before the last game. Well, in the Super Bowl, when injuries forced Jared Bush into the game, of course, he had the interception of Ben Roethlisberger. So, I mean, that's going to kind of be the feather in Jared Bush's cap, I think, for his whole entire career. He'll be known as the guy who got the interception in the Super Bowl. And good for him. I mean, Jared Bush had a solid season when you count the special teams into effect. He was the dime back all year long, I guess you could say. The Packers very rarely played in their dime formation, except maybe when they're perhaps defending a Hail Mary at the end of the game, or, you know, it's the very end of the game and, you know, the team's got to drive deep down the field, things like that. But, so played very little dime. But, you know, Jared Bush, we'll see. He seemed to hold off the other competitors at cornerback position. That included Pat Lee. Pat Lee, I wrote a feature article. I had talked to Pat Lee recently. If you go to the Cheesehead TV homepage, you can read the article there. But, you know, Pat Lee's done very little to distinguish himself in 3 years and has had a lot of injury issues to boot. But he too is known for his performance in the Super Bowl. When injuries occurred to both Charles Woodson and Sam Shields during the Super Bowl, he steps in, and all of a sudden, Pat Lee has the best performance of his career on the biggest stage of his career as well. So it's a step in the right direction. I suppose you hope you can put the injury concerns behind you. I'm not holding my breath that he's going to be able to, but, we're headed in the right direction with Pat Lee, at least. He was a second-round draft choice in 2008. People have expected more out of him, and he's been a disappointment so far, but, we'll see. I mean, he's going to come back. He's going to compete for a job this year. He's probably a free agent after the season, but who knows? I mean, maybe he has a good year, and, you're not going to cut him, or at least, you know, before training camp, at least. So we'll see how things play out with Pat Lee. Pat Lee got ahead of the depth chart ahead of a guy like Brandon Underwood this past year. Brandon Underwood, heading into last season, he was kind of being looked at as a guy who could be perhaps the nickelback last year and really, really kind of failed. I mean, he had his own off the field issues there with allegations of soliciting prostitution, etc. But since that point, I think he got in the doghouse a little bit, and even so, even when he did play, he didn't do all that well. During the preseason, the Packers didn't show any faith in him making him even active very much last year, and when he did, he played sparingly on special teams, things of that matter. So the future is not looking bright for Brandon Underwood. Again, he'll be given a shot. He'll get a lot of time during training camp to show his worth. But, the jury's out on Brandon Underwood. I guess you just have to see how he performs in training camp, but he could be on his way out. We'll see. One of the new guys coming in, Devon House, fourth rounder, the first choice on the defensive side of the football this year. He was kind of highly regarded, I thought, coming into the draft, and I thought he would go before the fourth round. So in that matter, I think he has his worth. He's valuable. So again, here we have no clue what he's going to provide. You hope he's going to be a valuable member of the Packers. I wouldn't expect it in his rookie year. But if he can just make the 53-man roster, I think that would be, you know, good for him, for a rookie. If he can be active on game days, it would be even better. You know, I'm sure at the beginning he would probably likely just fill a role on special teams and play very sparingly on defense. I mean, because there's so many good players ahead of him. And if he is able to break into the defensive rotation, you know you've got some good in Devon House then, because he's got Sam Shields, Tremont Williams, and Charles Woodson ahead of him. And am I missing anybody? You know, I suppose once this lockout ends here, eventually the Packers will go out and sign some undrafted free agents. The news here is that they perhaps will keep up to 90 players, that rosters will be expanded to 90 players this year to make up for the lack of an off season. So there's plenty of room to add players for, you know, the month of training camp or so. So I'm sure they'll add at least one or two cornerbacks. Josh Gordy is a guy who they had last year. Josh Gordy, he was on the practice squad, and then they signed him to the active roster late in the season when injuries occurred. You know, remember they got rid of Al Harris there, released Al Harris. So Josh Gordy is part of the, you know, I guess he'll be in training camp with them. And Josh Gordy was part of the 53-man roster during the Super Bowl. He happened to be inactive during the Super Bowl. He wasn't part of the 45-man active roster. But, you know, he was on the team. So, you know, he played in, I think, a couple games, one or two on special teams. And that was it last year. So he too faces a very, very steep battle. Perhaps maybe practice squad once again might be a spot for him. Sean says, don't forget about Josh Bell. Josh Bell, of course, got all the headlines about 2 weeks ago when the Packers said they weren't going to give him a Super Bowl ring. He was on injured reserve all last season, didn't play a single game. The Packers offered him a injury settlement so he could be released and sign somewhere else, but he didn't want it, which is his own choice, and perhaps it was the correct one for him. It kind of worked out. Having Josh Bell's names in the headlines 2 weeks ago certainly helped his own cause as far as, you know, signing on somewhere else. He's a free agent. He's not going to be re-signed by the Packers. I think they realize they're better off probably even going with an undrafted free agent rather than re-signing Josh Bell. But so there you go. There's the cornerback position of the Green Bay Packers heading into 2011, which it's now 9:00 and just about wraps up Railbird Central for today. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me today here on this Friday. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Joining us next Tuesday will be Robert Greenfield of the Packer Ranter, PackerRanter.com, our favorite humor Packers website. So looking forward to that on Tuesday as we meet all the Packers bloggers here across the blogosphere. But take care, everyone. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Alex Talich and John Rahor, for joining me today, and we will see you later.